Good morning, everybody. Like he attempted, my name is Brandon Schrage, from the
I apologize.
From the University of Arkansas, it happens. Dr. Norsworthy still doesn't know my name. But I appreciate y'all being here this morning. I know it's getting kind of redundant. We all know the big topic this year is Palmer amaranth. And I'd like to talk to you a little bit about its development and seed production as influenced by emergent state and cotton. Like I said, we've been over this, but it's something we need to grind into our head that we understand why it's such a problem that we're encountering. Amaranthus palmeri, is a member of the amaranth ACA family. It's a dioecious summer annual, and one of the reasons we find it so competitive with cotton down south is because of the C4 synthetic pathway that it utilizes. That's what enables it to have rapid growth, carbon efficiency, and water efficiency. It can also produce up to 600,000 seed per female plant, and its cumulative emergence can be in excess of 2,400 plants per meter squared. So looking at this information provided by John Norsworthy, Erlinger, and Keeley and others, it's easy to see why we have such issues with it in cotton. In fact, it's one of our most problematic weeds, argumentatively probably is the most problematic weed we encounter today. And it can reduce yield by 23% and 54% at densities of 0.58 and 2.2 plants per meter squared, respectively, which in the grand scheme of things is not a heavy population. Decreased canopy volume by 35% and 46% by 6 and 10 weeks after emergence, respectively. Now, so we see that this weed is something that we have to control in order to achieve maximum cotton yields. And this was made a little easier in 1997 by glyphosate-resistant cotton. Unfortunately, in 2000, when patent rights were removed, it was cheaper, it was easier to get, we were putting it on more acres, and that's what led to the increased selection pressure for the resistance. In 2005, Dr. Culpepper and others confirmed glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth in Georgia. Quick 7 years later, it's spreading throughout the United States, 16 confirmed states, I'm told, and after the presentation you just heard, I probably should have made that blue. So it's a growing concern, and this is what has sparked a lot of the resistance models, specifically the one that Dr. Neve constructed in order to kind of chart the progression of the resistance. The advantages of trying to simulate glyphosate resistance under cropping scenarios is it can provide rapid results at lower costs, but it still requires quantifiable knowledge. That is why we are continually having to do field trials. And what Dr. Neve discovered in 2010 was that the model output was sensitive to seed bank density. Now, if you look at this figure on the right here, the resistance risk increases as your initial seed bank density increases, which makes perfect sense. The more seed you have, the more potential seedlings, the more potential for resistance selection. A study that was conducted by Dr. Clay in 2007 was kind of the preliminary introduction to what we're looking at. It caught common water hemp in soybean. And this above chart is your dry weight of your Palmer amaranth, and this below is your seed number. And after so many growing degree days after planting date, you will see a reduction in both. But the message you need to take from this is that even towards the end of the growing season, you're still having viable seed. And this is what, along with the talk that was given by Bear a few moments ago, Dr. Norsworthy's work on best management practices emphasizes the necessity to start clean, stay clean, and it reinforces our doctrine that we need to have a zero tolerance policy of weed escapes, and that all stems from seed production. So that's why we hypothesized that the emergent state of Palmer amaranth will influence Palmer amaranth seed production, cotton biomass, and cotton yield. And subsequently, our objective was to determine how exactly emergent state of Palmer amaranth affects biomass development, seed production, and its resulting effect on cotton biomass and yield. So our study was conducted in Fayetteville, Arkansas in 2012 using a split plot experimental design. Our main plots were the Palmer planting date, as written as 0, 2, 4, 6, 9, and 10 weeks after cotton emergence. The subplot was cotton, whether it was present or removed, in order to simulate how exactly they were competing, and it was replicated four times. We used Phytogen 375 planted into four-row plots, and we planted glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth by hand into 26 mounds within 8 inches of the row center. If you could see this picture up here, you can kind of see that the planting line in the inner two rows and the mounds built alongside it. There we hand deposited Palmer amaranth seed. Once we had a healthy stand get established, we thinned it to one plant per meter of row. As weekly assessments were taken, we had 5 Palmer amaranth heights, 3 cotton heights, and we collected the cotton and Palmer amaranth as well. It was collected, dried, and weighed. We counted the seeds in the dry biomass. There were cotton plants were recorded in 2 meters of row, and the seed cotton was removed from bowls and weighed to determine seed cotton yield. As far as data analysis, we used regression and a 2-parameter exponential decay function in sigma plot. Moving on to the results and discussion, the meat of the presentation. I'm going to set this up for you here. On the y-axis, you have the number of seeds per plant. On the bottom, you have the days after cotton emergence. And as can be expected, you could see the top regression line is in the absence of cotton, which makes sense. There was less seed production because it didn't have to compete with the cotton crop. There was competition, notably. And then the lower line is under cotton canopy. The real message, though, that I want you to take from this is that even after about 10 weeks after emergence, so it was clean for the majority of the year, cotton is almost reaching maturity for harvest, you are still getting 4,100 seeds per plant, even after typical control methods have been utilized. This picture kind of reinforces that. This photo was taken at 11 weeks after emergence. The Palmer amaranth you see here was planted 2 weeks after the emergence date of cotton, whereas over here it was planted 10 weeks after the emergence date of cotton. And at first glimpse on the right, you might think, many growers might see, oh, well, sufficient control, move on. I mean, this year it's not going to affect our yields, we should be fine. But you're still getting an average of 3,000 seed produced per female. There was a correlation that we noticed between Palmer amaranth biomass and seed production. This is without cotton. Is a close correlation, 0.94. And what you're basically seeing is that throughout time, the decrease in biomass resulted in a decrease in seed, but I believe that was important to present to you so you understood how the plant was indeed reproducing as far as metabolic function. The same is true in cotton. Started off actually higher, near 80,000, this is your number of seeds. Over here is your Palmer amaranth biomass. And your biomass, like I said, started high and plummeted with the seed count. Moving on to seed cotton yield, I'm going to set the slide up for you. Over here you have cotton yield in pounds per acre and days after emergence. Planting date was on June 1st, that was our first section. And like many yield data that's been provided in previous research, there's typically an 8-week weed-free period for cotton. Our data suggests that after 4 weeks, your yield would not be affected. A lot of growers likewise see this kind of information and they're thinking, why do I need season-long control? This goes back to the fact that even though you're not losing yield, you're still producing viable seed. So in summary, what can we say about this? Well, seed production decreases as emergence date becomes later and cotton matures. Late-emerged Palmer amaranth can't produce seed under cotton canopy, which is important to note. And after 4 weeks after emergence, cotton yield was not significantly affected by the emergence of Palmer amaranth. There is, in fact, a strong correlation between Palmer amaranth biomass and seed production, regardless of cotton presence. So as far as an implication, how can we take this information to the bank? Well, suggest that, say, at 10 weeks after emergence, you're practically through your early stages of cotton. Cotton can now successfully compete with the weed, so you're not looking at yield loss. Say you have 100 Palmer amaranth seeds per acre. That's still a relatively low amount, and many people would be happy if that's all they had. And factor in that generally 25% of those 100 Palmer amaranth seeds are female and can produce viable seed. If you remember the chart I showed you, first figure that we looked at, that still means that you're looking at greater than 100,000 seed that can potentially be produced in the late weeks of cotton production. And this is what fails to reduce our seed bank or maintain its staticity, which in other words, we fail our best management practices as far as staying clean, starting clean, and continually removing throughout the growing season. So in conclusion, Palmer amaranth must be removed throughout the year to prevent seed production, not only to make our control efforts easier for the following spring, but so that we can stave off the resistance problem that we're encountering more and more. In the light of this, we fail to reject the hypothesis. And in future research, we'd like to repeat it in 2013 and record the dates of onset of reproductive development. With that, I thank you for your time, and I'll be happy to take any questions. Yes?
How did you determine when to harvest the seed? Because it's so indeterminate, the main stem, the main head will probably be dried, and all the other terminals won't be. How did you determine that?
The question was, how do we determine when to harvest the Palmer amaranth? And he made a good point saying that it's kind of indecisive in that parts will be dry and other parts won't. We tried to make a general decision as to when they reached reproductive maturity. It was the only way to be near certain how many we were getting. We then entered it, put them into bags, as careful as possible not to lose any material, any biomass, put in the greenhouse to dry. And then we weighed and counted.
So what was your criteria when the main stem turned, or the main head turned brown, or what do you mean by maturity?
When it had a sufficient seed head on it, when it browned up, and we didn't think we were getting any breaking and loss of seed.
So I think I can answer that question.
Go ahead, Mutu. Any other questions that my colleagues can answer for me? Making this pretty easy. No? All right. I appreciate you.
Thank you very much.